The After Hour Sessions podcast. This is your host D-Rock, and I'm joined by someone who has been on the show, technically been on the show before, but we had technical difficulties the last time back in 2020. She was one of the first like five guests on the show, and Hans and I had a great conversation with her, but technical difficulties slowed it down. So I'm glad that she was patient with me and she's finally back on the show, the amazing Tommy Kyler. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me again.
Yes. Well, because it was such a great convo, and I'm like, it was always like, you know, I got to get her back on. So I'm just really thrilled that
you agreed.
Yeah, you agreed to come back on. So I'm glad.
Yeah.
No, so how are you? I feel like it's been so much craziness since the last time we chatted. So how have you been? How has Session World been for you?
I've been pretty good. I feel like I've been focusing a lot on like my private life. And it was been a little bit difficult to juggle Kami from who I am outside of her. So I definitely feel like so happy and like, you know, like I'm kind of like overjoyed to like kind of step back into this like session space, like this, like, so I'm definitely looking forward to this year and whatever comes and like opportunities and things to just like explore more with like who I am as a session wrestler or like as a fetish model or whatever comes next. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And it's such an interesting thing to see session wrestlers, people who, you know, are fans and do sessions, to find, because it is reality, it is like a real part of us, but then again it's like it's not
so separate. Yeah, like if I had the opportunity to be Kami 24/7, I would.
Yeah,
but unfortunately like things in life and circumstances kind of like take you out of that headspace and kind of like, all right, like I gotta step back and really sort things out until more opportunities arrive where like maybe I can be Kami more often, do you know? Which is definitely the goal for this year. I definitely want to step back into that role because it's where I feel most comfortable, I would say.
No, and that's so profound what you said. Like if you could be Kami 24/7, you would, because I think, I mean, I hate speaking for other people. I always say that, but it's like, I know for me as D-Rock, I would sign me up in a heartbeat. I would be in that zone 24/7 if I could. And I'm sure for most people, no matter what.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they feel that way too.
Yeah, it's just like, it's fascinating. Like, it's escape, it's fantasy, but it's also like the realest part of us.
Exactly. Like, it's also your most vulnerable, true self. And I feel like it'd be wonderful for like everyone to be able to kind of step into that more often. And to like feel that level of freedom and just like expression, you know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of people have a hard time, especially like with dealing with like their regular 9-to-5s and shit, that like you can't be yourself, like you feel so restricted. And it's like, damn, that shit sucks. Like, I don't want to experience that anymore.
Right. No, it's beyond just fascinating. Like, and to hear, and also looking at myself and like coming to grips with, and it's never over. Like, you know, it's always a process, and progress is never linear, but just trying to come to grips with the vanilla world and this session kink world and finding as close to the right amount of balance as we can.
Yeah, that's so important, because shit, like if you can't be yourself, then who are you going to be? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So let me ask you then, what about Kami would you say that you love about being Kami that's different than who you are in like the vanilla world?
Oh, that's a good fucking question. Shit. Oh, man. I think the thing about Kami is that she's definitely a bit rough around the edges. Does that make sense? She's definitely more assertive, more dominant, definitely a go-getter. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where it's like in my world, like what I do, you know, separate from her, it's more of a people pleaser kind of career where it's catered to the clientele. And I'm just like, okay, that's not me. Like, I'm not here to baby anybody. I'm not here to kiss ass. Like, I don't enjoy this, right? Or like, Tommy's like, all right, fuck you. I'm taking names, writing them down, right. Fucking you guys up. Like, I'm here to kick ass. And that's more of who I am, like my true, genuine self, you know? So it's mm-hmm. so easy to step into that role because it's not a character. It's genuinely a part of me.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So it's just like, yo, like, I feel like my other self, you know, mm-hmm. is more of the persona than Kami would be. Most people adapt a fetish persona. I adapted a regular persona, if that makes sense. It's a little backwards.
No, it makes complete sense to me. I totally get it. I'm different. I see the differences, and this podcast has helped me really focus in on the differences between who I am in this fetish session world and then who I am in my vanilla world. And yeah, a lot of times I try not to dwell on it because, you know, you can't
do about it. Yeah.
Like, yeah. You got to just take it day by day, but there's so many things I'm never like, oh, I wish D-Rock was more like who I am in vanilla. It's the flip. I'm like, I wish my vanilla self had what D-Rock had.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I've been kind of blessed, I would say, with the people I surround myself with as of recently. They're a lot more expressive and like free with who they are. So they're less judgmental. I feel like a lot of people have this like fear of judgment when it comes to merging personalities and like really being your true self and stuff, which sucks because you never want to mm-hmm. put on a mask for other people. So it's kind of like, okay, if you don't like either person that I am, then you don't have to associate with either. Like, it's that right. simple. Like, right. I'm not going to now, like, dim my light for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's weird.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, the session person is more comfortable with that than the vanilla person. Like, even if the vanilla person is like, hey, I can only be me. At least for me, I'll still dwell on it a little bit sometimes where I'm like, yeah, that person's just, but whatever. But then I'm like, well, why are they like that? Well, we're in a session world. It's like, if you don't like me, okay, then, hey, if I don't do any, unless if I did something to somebody, I care. And I want to know how to, but if you just don't like me because you don't like me, whatever, bye.
Tough shit.
Like, yeah, it's like, whatever.
Yeah. So it's just like, I'm not here. Like, I feel like my vanilla self is more like, please and thank you. And have a good day and whatever. And Kami's like, yeah, no. Gimme. This is mine. I want it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's funny. Well, two things, I guess. The first thing is, I'll tell a quick like story for you and the people listening, is I went to an event. It was the Dom Cat had an event at the end of February, and she was on here talking about it. And I went, and when I was there, someone, and they didn't, it was just an innocent thing because some people do know me by my vanilla name. And if someone called me my vanilla name a few times, and you know what was weird? And I'm not saying, like, people may get the wrong impression. It was like if Superman got called Clark Kent or Batman got called Bruce Wayne, and it was like, what? What?
Like, it almost derails you. Yeah.
Yes, it threw me off for, like, so much of the event. It took, honestly, this may sound weird, it took Dom Cat calling me D-Rock. And then, like, another, like, CJ, a friend of mine, called me D-Rock for me to, like, snap into it. But someone had said my vanilla name, and it threw me off. Like, I was like, what?
Like, who the fuck is that?
Right, like, and it's not. You
almost, like, disassociate. Like, if yes. that makes, like, I'm just like, whoa. Like, for example, like, I can relate because, like, Hans and, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Ruby Rage, a couple mm-hmm. other models that I'm, like, close with, they know my vanilla like name and everything and like know me separate from there, but they still refuse to call me that. They're like, no, we don't know you as that. We know you as this is who you are. I'm like, yes, thank you.
That's awesome.
Because I would get kind of confused, you know. I'm just like, like what?
Yeah.
It would kind of throw off the whole vibe, and like when we're shooting and having a good time, if you just randomly say my villain name, I'm like, oh fuck, I just kind of stepped out of my headspace for a sec, you know? I
It
don't know.
really did. And I never, because I haven't, I'm starting, with the COVID and everything. So now more wrestling events, I'm starting to go more. So maybe that's why I'm used to the podcast. I'm used to my own individual sessions or conversations with people like on the phone. So I hadn't really gone. So like it threw me like it. And I was like, what's wrong? But it really took a long, and I'm not talking like a few, it took like about an hour, hour and a half to get right, and it was weird. I had never experienced that before,
Gotcha. Yeah.
but
So strange.
I'll say this, that I have, because being cool with Hans and being I'm a big fan of his work, and so seeing the videos that you guys do, I'll tell you, so like when you're talking about how calm he is and that badass like person, that confident like ass kicker, is when I watched you guys with that 60-minute Spartan match you guys did,
Yeah, that was
and
a fun one.
that was so cool. And I was, who is this? I'm like, Kami is so cu you were. It was like Hans was trying so hard, and it was like you see that clip of like this like grown man who's playing like football with the like his son, like his little child and his friends. And he's just like moving him out the way. You were like, just like, it was like no one was, you were toying with him and teasing him and like calling him out so bad. And I was like, this is like hot as hell. But I'm like, she is so badass. Like, you were like, when
Oh
he would do
man,
a move or
thanks.
try something, you were like, what is this? What are you doing? You're not doing nothing. And I was like, yo, she's just really calling him out.
I'm
It was
always like that.
awesome.
Like that's kind of like me and Hans has such a fun dynamic. I think that's why I love, love, love shooting with him because I'm just gonna talk so much shit. And I feel like it really fuels our matches, you know? Like I think like something that's so fun is like to be able to just have fun with it. Like I know it's a Spartan match and like take it fucking serious and kick ass and fuck around and find out, right? But there's something so I don't know, primal and like assertive and dominant about being able to just talk your talk and then follow through. Like I'm not gonna talk shit and then lose.
Right. And it's also, you can tell, you can only do that if you have at least for, in my opinion, I mean, if you have a good rapport, because then it's like,
It's
oh,
fun. It's
yeah, it's not like, oh, you really were punking Hans and like emasculating him in a bad way. It was like, you could tell he's having fun, you're having a good time, and like that's like the best.
he dishes it out just as good as he thinks it, you know? Like, don't sleep on Hans.
That's true. That's true. He's a very nice guy, but he's not that nice. He's got a
No.
little bit in him too. Absolutely.
It's a fucking demon.
Now, was that, I guess, so for some who haven't seen it, like I guess for like, ex and I think if you're listening, go get that clip, because it's incredible. But like, how would you explain to those who haven't seen it or don't know, like a Spartan match? Because I didn't know it
So the
until
Spartan
I
match
saw it.
was kind of, I don't know if you've seen mine and Hans's Iron Match. So I feel like it was an Iron Match, so 60 minutes, no stops, no breaks, all competitive wrestling, but with no clothing, so it makes it difficult to hold on to grips. So we're fully nude and oiled up. So you know the oil aspect is super difficult because not only are you nude with no grips, but now you're fucking slippery, no grips. So it was extremely difficult to maneuver
Right.
around that, trying to get holds and chokes and locks, all while like having all those handicaps basically, because it was just things that look hot as hell, but were extremely fucking difficult to like get around, you know?
Yeah.
Because every time
Absolutely.
I thought I had him in something, he'd slip out, and I'm like, God, fuck, now I gotta go through the fucking task of getting right back into the ideal position to get this one thing that I wanted. I'm like, God, shit. Like, it was intense. We were both out of breath, struggling by the end of that fucking match. We were so done and sore for days because we really put our all into that one. Like,
Oh, and it is awesome, and it's competitive, but it's art, and it's like,
it there
and
was,
I
yeah, like, it was so fun. And I'm just like, it just looked gorgeous. Like, even like the promo shoots that we did, the pictures were so fucking cool. The photographer for that, I think his name is Mothra. He's such a nice guy. He did amazing. And I feel like it really was like a whole team effort for that match and for most matches, of course.
No, absolutely. And I remember one moment, and I don't know if you will, so like, just, it's okay if you don't remember it, but I feel like there was a moment where Hans, because he was really, and I think hearing you talk about it now, it's smart that you're kind of letting him do all like the work, and you were like letting him put himself in the holds in a way, because especially hearing how hard it was to shoot, but he was moving and he hits you by like accident on the chin. And he says, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And you weren't hurt or anything, but it looked like it like snapped something in you. And then I remember you were letting him do his thing. He hits you, and then you start tapping him out like consecutively. Like you just get him in on these holds. It was like, "What? Like you hit me?" Like even though like you knew it wasn't on purpose, it like woke something up in you, and then you just start like just dominating him.
Oh, I'm just like, oh, he's not fucking around now. We're getting hit in the face. Crazy. All right, cool. Like, challenge accepted. You know what I'm saying?
Oh
Like,
yeah, it was awesome.
it was a good shoe. We just did one because Hans is particularly fond of body scissors, because he's good at it. That shit hurt, and I just am now recovering. We just did a video of like some bondage. Our ankles were tied and bound with some rope, and like we did like a super, super, super fun, but challenging and painful as hell, like body scissor kind of duel. That was intense because his thighs are strong. Oh man. And like I was particularly vocal in that one, so like you really hear the struggle in my voice. I'm like, shit, okay, this shit hurts.
Okay, so that's one to look out for, that I'm interested in seeing that one. Okay, because Han definitely is good at that.
Every chance he gets, even in regular like comp matches, he just like sneaks one in there whenever he can. I'm just like, man, okay.
Hey, if it works, why go away from it? So more power to him if it helps, I guess. But it's interesting, because one thing I've noticed over the past couple years is just when people, either in sessions, but definitely when people are shooting like content, the creativity is just really exploding beyond what I even like could have pictured it years ago. And I'm wondering for you, are you kind of taken back, or did you kind of always see like hearing you talk about like a bondage, like thigh scissor match, and like the different, a Spartan match, like the ideas that people are coming up with, like, are you taken aback, or like in a good way, surprised by like these different creative matches that people are coming up with?
Yes, I think so. And I feel like it's also without oversaturating to the point where like things become redundant and repetitive and stuff. I feel like it's awesome, but it's also like how do you one up yourself? Do you know what I'm saying? And I feel like
Yeah.
Hans is particularly good at one upping himself. Because like we reconnected recently and started shooting and like coming together again. And I'm just like, dude, where the fuck are you coming up with this? Like, but in like a good way, because it's always something fun and interesting and like something that I'm like always like down for. I'm like, yeah, man, whatever it is, like let me know, like I'm with it. I don't know, like it's cool and it's almost like shit, and I gotta sit down and brainstorm and come up with things that are unique to Kami.
Yeah, how has that part been for you and for Kami? Like, is that something that like is that a challenge you look forward to, or is it kind of daunting at times trying to
I mean,
think
it
of
can
different
definitely
things?
be scary. I do have some ideas that I definitely put out there through Hans that I will be kind of reclaiming this year and definitely like building more towards like making it something that people are like associate with me. You know, like, oh, wow, yeah, that's Kami's thing. That's what she's known for, that she's so good at this, blah, 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 right? Like, I'll have to look forward to that particular kind of content. So it's definitely something that I'm going to try to structure more and build upon. Because I definitely like there's like Vivi. She's so, so good and she's super, super into the bondage wrestling. So whenever you think of bondage wrestling, like Vivi. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely want to kind of find that niche that people associate me with.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, is it, because I know, like you had said earlier, you took some time for you. And so I think anyone who has talked with you or seen you know, like, you're the real deal in the session with you. But like, one thing I'm noticing, even through a podcasting, but the promotional side, the self-promoter, the social media, like, how, because I'm like, you're coming back to it, how do you feel about like jumping in into like the social media and kind of like promoting your clips or promoting the clips you do with Hans? Or like, is that something that you're more comfortable with now, or is it still kind of a struggle?
I mean, I have to get my shit together, of course, because jumping right in from being inactive for a while is definitely going to be a bit of a struggle. But I'm hoping that just through good rapport with people and like continuing to put my best foot forward, that things would just naturally, you know, take charge and like continue to have that momentum. So yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to try to be more active on social media. That's something that I've struggled with even when I was particularly more active, just because I'm one of those show not tell kind of people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm definitely better in action face to face. I'm like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I've had a couple sessions where the person was like, oh shit, I didn't know you were actually trained. I thought this was like a lie. I thought you were just kidding. I'm like, no, if you book a competitive session, I'm gonna come kick your ass. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and baby you. Like,
right.
Like, if you lose, you lose, buddy. I'm sorry. But yeah, I want to always be legit and like honest with everyone. Like, hey, this is exactly what I offer. This is exactly what you're getting. No gimmicks. No sugarcoating it. Like, it's very, very upfront. I feel like that's kind of what I like to represent. You know, like what you see is what you get. No more, no less.
Yeah. And that's interesting. But then also, because I guess it is and it isn't, because when I've seen your videos with Hans, from the descriptions to then like you watch them, it's very obvious that you are who you say you're. Kami, you're badass. You know what you're doing. You could tell maybe someone who doesn't know what type of grappling experience you have. But you got something, you know what I mean? Like, it's very obvious. But then I guess on your clips, you have that, but you have some like role play and fun stuff. So then I guess, yeah, if they discovered you through that, then maybe
they'd be a little confused. It's like, I wonder what that
is.
But it's also like a good balance, I think, because I feel like if I stick to just one thing, I feel like I want to be able to reach a broader audience, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Than just like my one small corner of the world, you know? And I feel like it's fun to kind of like explore more things, but still have that one thing that you like more than the others. For me, I really, really like the wrestling aspect more than, let's say, like the spicier content. I'm like, I love the spicy, but I want to fight. Like, that's
But is the ultimate for you both? Like, yes. Is the ultimate, like, and wrestling?
Yes, and I feel like that's why I loved the Spartan match so much, because it did have a touch of sensuality within it, without it completely, like, overshadowing, like, the brutality and, like, just, like, primal aspect of a Spartan match. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, and that's you said it beautifully. That is very true. Like, it is a delicate balance that I feel like
I delivered. Like, we came, we conquered, and like, that's it.
No, you're right, because it's something I'm starting to, you know, I don't have a studio, but to film with other people a little bit more, I'm dipping my toes in the past like year, and there is a balance to it where you may advertise it one way, but then it can go sexual really quick, or it can go where it's the fight part, but you said it's a sex fight or this kind of fight, but then the other part's not there. So it's a balance to kind of have both. And I think you're right. That Spartan match, the sensual part was there, but it did not overall. The main thing was you're watching two people really go at it for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's really cool, and it's really I think that's what's fascinating to me, and that's where promoting on my end has been kind of confusing. Not in a bad way. I don't want to sound like a complainer, because this is all great.
It's a fun challenge.
It's
It just comes with the territory. Like, it's gonna be hard. It's okay to complain. You just gotta push forward. Yeah, like, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, for so long, I didn't know any other fans or any other people like me. My conversations were with the session wrestlers when I sessioned. So now it's like, I didn't know how many people are so niche within this niche. So to me, I was like, yeah, I like a little semi-comp. I like comp. I like lift and carry. I like a little bit, you know, and then it's finding people now who are like, they just like lift and carry, or they just like semi-comp, or they like just, they like no sensual, like no sex, and some who only like wrestling with the sex part. And so I'm like, wow, I didn't realize it was that broken down, and like, sometimes they just like this. Like, yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's super like fun to talk to people, like, especially like the wrestling events that like we, you know, like go to or frequent here and there. What people, even like as a session wrestler talking to other session wrestlers, like the amount of knowledge that people impart, and like that you're like, shit, like, I didn't know that was a thing, or like, wow, like, that's something new that I could go and explore. Like, there's always so much that we're not like privy to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. No, like, it's definitely okay to dip your toes in multiple like things.
No, and that's true. And I think that's where it is fun, and it's like, I guess it's that balance, but it can be hard, but you want to be authentically who you are. And it's like, but you're still going to try. And it's kind of like going, you know, people who like or fans of Kami will go along with you on that journey because they like you.
Yeah. And then you have those people to also be like, okay, Kami, like, this is really cool, but we miss X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, okay, guys, heard. You know?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they can, like, sometimes it takes your audience to kind of help guide you in certain directions as well, because you need that feedback in order to grow.
Right, right. And I think that's, you know, because it's interesting whether, like, I'm a fan of, like, music and cult, but I'm also a fan of sports. So you always hear, like, people say, like, you gotta block out people who are gonna, the haters, you gotta block out, which is true. But then it is like, oh, but you need feedback to grow as a performer, as an artist, as in anything. So it's like, where's that balance where you don't want it to drive you completely? Like, you still want to be you and do what you like. But also, yeah, you got to take it if people are saying, hey, we want to hear more of this, or hey, we want to see more of that. You got to listen to it, too.
That's true. Or maybe you do like something where you ease them into it, right? It's like you sprinkle things that you like here and there to kind of ease them slowly into it until they're more open to your ideas as a whole. Does that make sense? Like,
yes, yes, yeah. Yes. So now, since you did mention it, I want to ask, because it's been 3 years, so I need an update myself, but you're martial arts, your combat like background, I know you have BJJ. Is there anything else in there?
So I started off with like high school wrestling. So I started in middle school, and then I finished all throughout high school. So I have like, I would say, a solid 6 years of wrestling before starting BJJ.
Wow.
Which is funny, because when I did my first tournament as a white belt, I was accused of sandbagging for having had, they're like, you're too good for a white belt. And I'm like, thank you. But no, I'm not sandbagging. Like, I promise, like, I'm just as much of a noob as everybody else. So I did that. I did some Muay Thai. And then now, because of like what I do for work, I'm constantly at the gym. So I'm powerlifting. I'm trying to get into bodybuilding so that I can come into my grappling stronger and like more ferocious, basically, than before.
Wow. Okay. So So first, are you trying to like do bodybuilding competitions, or you're just trying to do it more like get into it more, but you're not looking into competitions?
I mean, I would love to compete. Maybe like next year, once I can, get myself situated better, I would love to step on stage just because I've always had that competitive nature in me. I've done jiu-jitsu competitions, I've done wrestling tournaments, I've trained in Colorado, for in the Olympic Training Center. So like it's things like that. Like I've always been very, very athletic and competitive. So if that's something that I can carry over into anything that I do in life, then I will. Given the opportunity, of course.
Awesome. So
Yeah.
now you trained. So how did you train at the was were you almost in the Olympics, like for amateur wrestling, for
No, I did some like military type sports. They were like very, very obscure, when I was younger, and we had the opportunity to use the training center in Colorado. To kind of prepare ourselves for like a tournament that we were having. It's such a fun experience. That place is amazing if you do any kind of athletics. Like it's massive.
Oh yeah, the pictures look awesome when I've
Yeah.
seen it. Yeah. Wow. So what leads, and obviously on this show and people know it, like you really have the mindset, like you know, that kind of out the window, like, whoa, ladies wrestling? Obviously, like if you're listening and you know that. But this isn't Kami who started wrestling, amateur wrestling in middle school. It's your vanilla self. So what led you to try amateur wrestling as a young lady,
To
back
be
then?
honest, my father wanted a son and he got a daughter. And he was an amateur boxer. So, since I could remember, combat sports was something that was always in my house. So, it became one of those things where, like, okay, if there's an issue at home, figure it out, put the gloves on, let's hash it out, and it was fun. Like, it was genuinely fun. And when I joined wrestling, I was the only girl on the team. There was no girls wrestling team. So like I had no choice but to go in there and do what I do best and beat up men. You know what I'm saying? Like fuck these guys. So it kind of transitioned. Like I like this. I like the power that I have like on the mats. I like being on the mats. Therefore, like when I was introduced to my more like when I was introduced to being Kami, when I was given the opportunity to be her, I was like, yes, I didn't hesitate. Like, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. Like, this is exactly what I needed that I didn't know existed. Like, I didn't know that I could do this. I didn't know that I could be her. Like, it wasn't something that is heavily advertised to like the general population. Like, no one knows that session wrestling is a thing unless you're into session wrestling.
And so many things, because I'll say before I ask my question, the one thing that was interesting is I saw a previous guest, her name Natasha Leona. She's from Brazil. And I session with her before, but I saw her in February, and she told me that that's a big difference. Like, in she said, I think she said South America, but she definitely said in Brazil, like dominatrix, like a dom session wrestling is included in that. Like, it's already in it. Whereas in America, like North America, they're separate
They're
almost. Like.
totally separate. So like it's strange because when you think of dominatrix, you think of more of the sexual aspects and like things like that, right? You don't think about dominating someone on a physical and like almost brutal primal way. Like you don't think about sitting there and submitting someone. You don't think about sitting there and tapping out someone. You don't think about choking them out. You don't like, you know what I'm saying? It's different. It's separate because a lot of people don't associate wrestling with any kind of like happy feelings or like spicy feelings or like enjoyment of any kind. They're just like, yeah, it's just wrestling. I'm like, no, it's not. Like for some people, it's not just wrestling. And that's okay.
No, for sure. And it made me, and I haven't talked to a lot of people. This is back in February, and I want to talk to her on the show again, you know, about it, which is like, if we in America have that mindset, because I think like a dominatrix is, it's still like a little taboo, but it's pretty known, right? Yeah. Like being a dom, and if you're, you know, of a certain age, you kind of, you haven't, maybe you don't really know,
We have like a general understanding of what that means.
Right. And I kind of wonder how, if that would be a positive thing for session wrestling, or if some negatives, you know, if like, if that was incorporated into the dom world more, like how would that affect session wrestling? Like, it's made me think about that the past couple months.
Maybe it just means that session wrestlers adopt the title of dominatrix. If a dominatrix can session wrestle, then a session wrestler can dominatrix.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Doesn't that go to, you know, I feel like it should be interchangeable at that point. If a dom can wrestle, then a dominant wrestler can also dom.
Right. And there's those out there, and they've been on the show, who they kind of have, they do both. But then there's like I feel like Katarina, like the Dom Cat, she has both together. And then there's others who there's like separate lists, and I've seen them who there's their session. If you go on like their website, or even on like Session Girls, like there's their session list of what they do in a session for wrestling, and then their list of what they do as a dom, and they're kind of like separate. And so it's
like
different.
I haven't mastered Karina's like 50-50 of wrestling and like dom work yet. I feel like I'm at a solid 75-25. So that's also something that I would like to kind of work on this year, is like working on that perfect balance and transitioning over more into like how can Kami also express more sensuality without necessarily losing that aggression and power. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's a very, like we were talking earlier, it's such a difficult thing to balance, is sensuality and aggression and power and like me. Like, how can an egoist basically now also, you know, like traverse that sensualness?
Right. Right. No, it's and that's why it's fascinating to talk about it and to see it, because from the outside, I feel like you already have it. Like you, but I, you know, that's one thing for me to say, then for you to feel like you have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but from the outside, like seeing you, the matches you've done with Hans, seeing how you were in the Spartan match, I know we bring it up, but like it was a great video. And to me, like you're like right there. Like that video, you're right there. You know what I mean? Like you're combining all of those things. You know,
yeah, and I've had a lot of, it's funny to like read reviews from guys and stuff, because they're always like, well, Kami is so aggressive, and I'm just like, yeah, I know. I'm not sorry, but it's always been, I don't necessarily want to dial that down. Like, I'm not willing to dial that down at all. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I have a particular taste. Like, you know, like it's an acquired taste. I'm an acquired taste, right? And it's like, maybe you need a specific kind of palate to handle that, because I'm not going to water myself down in order to be more sensual. You know what I'm saying? You can be sensual and still have that spice about you, you know? And that's okay. Like, so it's definitely something to balance, because I do notice a lot that like, people change depending on what they're doing or like the actions and stuff. And I'm just not willing to like compromise that.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. And I don't think you necessarily have to. I think a lot of people will like it. I guess it also depends on, when it comes to a session, what that person is asking or requesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I can be like, okay, like I can do X, Y, and Z, but these are my terms. And then it's up to you to agree to those terms or be like, all right, never mind, I'm good. I'm like, okay, no problem.
Right, right. So that's where, but I mean, like you said, it's something that I'm excited to see. Like,
I'm for the Brave. I'm definitely for the Brave.
Yes. I got that for sure, because you are, because I wanted to, like, just one more on, like, I remember from our last conversation, you're the oldest, right? So it's like looking back on it, like me from an outsider and other people hearing, like, oh, like some this young girl in middle school went out for the boys team. It's like, oh yeah, well, that was really brave, and that was like took a lot of courage to like say, screw that, I'm gonna do it. But at the time, did you feel like any kind of thing, or were you just like, fuck it, I'm gonna go do
I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go do it. Who's gonna tell me
it?
no? Like, my mentality for everything is, who's going to tell me no? I'm gonna do
Right.
it anyway. Like, okay, you said no. Well, I don't care. I'm gonna do it anyway. Do you know what I'm
That's
saying? Like,
awesome. Yeah.
and it's like, it's one of those, and again, it's like an egoist thing because I say that for everything. I feel like that's the thing I say the absolute most is, what are they gonna do? Fight me? You know what I'm saying? Because it's me.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? Nothing. You're not gonna do anything. So it's just like, yeah, I'm gonna do whatever I want.
And did you get any pushback at the time?
At the time they were like, oh, like, we don't know if it's such a good idea. Like, you're such a small girl, like, to be on the rest. I was like, soaking wet, like 100 pounds. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do it anyway. What are you gonna do? So I snatched up a permission slip. I took it home. My dad signed it. He was like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. And brought it back, and they had to just like, look, I got this permission slip. I'm on the team. Look at me, yay, go me. And I think the only time that I did have some kind of like, I guess pushback was, I remember a time where there was a wrestling tournament, and there were some like, I think the school was like Jewish primarily. I don't want to like be wrong or like, you know, say anything. But they have like specific rules against like physical contact with women.
Okay.
So I wasn't allowed to participate in those tournaments. I think that was the only time where they were like, yeah, no. I'm like, all right, I guess, fine.
Yeah, it was based on like religious
And I'm like, I
beliefs.
get
Yeah.
that. Like, I totally get it. But that reason alone was the only time where there've been like solid like lines that I wasn't allowed to cross. Other than that, I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna step over. I'm gonna do it anyway.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, I'm going to ask you a random question here, so just kind of bear with me,
Gotcha.
because I have friends who like work in like, work for like a commission. Like, I'm in Pennsylvania, so I have a buddy who he's like works for the PA like commission. So any like MMA matches, boxing, I can go backstage with him. He's checking the hands, the wrap, making sure the corners are good. And I have other friends who are into like UFC and MMA, and so I love talking about the different like disciplines. And so I think you're a perfect person to ask, where for a while when UFC kind of started, MMA and America group blew up, it was like BJJ was the discipline. And now I've spent the past like 15 years at least, maybe even 20, amateur wrestling is like the main discipline that you're seeing. So I kind of wanted to know, like, since you have both, like you amateur wrestled and BJJ, why do you think that is? Why do you think amateur wrestling is like the top discipline in MMA?
Do you know that's such a interesting question because I would argue and say that I have a preference for BJJ. I would argue and say that BJJ should be the top discipline still. You
Right.
know? Because there's so much more that you can do, I think, with that than just amateur wrestling. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
But
I
you have noticed that amateur wrestling kind of has.
It did definitely take a turn because a lot of wrestlers now transition into stand-up work, and then they're like, okay, I'm gonna do like MMA now, like I want to do this, blah blah blah, right? And like they wrestlers tend to pick up standing and like more like striking arts than they do other grappling arts. Like I feel like there are not that many wrestlers that transition over into another grappling art. You know
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
that's a, yes,
Like,
yes.
they're just like, no, nah, I don't need it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I got one, I don't need it. I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, Khabib did Sambo, right? And then he also did BJJ. And
yes.
And it's funny because that's two grappling arts.
Right, right. He did, yeah.
He did two. So I was like, that's so interesting that he went that route. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's relatable for me. I'm like, yeah, because I went that route. Like, I also preferred. And it's also like a preference. A lot of people are not comfortable on the ground because a lot of like fighters now do pick up so many striking arts because it's like preferable to be standing up and keeping distance and not be comfortable on the ground. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are not comfortable with being on their backs or having side control or whatever the case is. Like, they're just not comfortable there, and that's okay. And I think it's very interesting that wrestling is that now, like, the top spot, because it shows that a lot of people are now becoming more open to the idea of, okay, it's totally fine to be on the ground.
Yeah, no, I think that, and that's a great, and I appreciate it because I respect both a lot and have been fans, and I've done BJJ more. Every school I went to never had a wrestling team. In fact, every school I went to from like middle, like the wrestling team, just like they like disbanded it when I got there. It was like done. And they're like, we used to have it. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, all right then. But even in college, actually, yeah, my college had one and then it stopped too. That's funny. I didn't think about that. But it was BJJ. I've tried, and BJJ to me is like more like, it's like a beautiful sport. It's a beautiful like grappling, amateur wrestling, not to like stereotype it. It's more like, I don't know, when I meet like guys who like are amateur wrestlers, a lot of times it's like, ugh, like that kind of like thing sometimes. I'm like, oh, okay. But it just was like, it overtook it. Then when I was like growing up, it was BJJ was like the one everyone was like, gotta do that. And then it just became amateur wrestling, just dominated. And I was just like, where did this come from? And it doesn't seem like it's going away.
Around. Yeah, and it's not slowing down. It's not. Like, and I love that. And I wish that more grappling arts were readily available, because it's like, once you find a passion for one, you're definitely interested in learning more about others, because that's how you improve your ground game. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was up to me, I'd also go learn Sambo. Like, I'm like, that shit looks fire. Are you kidding me?
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's so intense. But it's not something that you can just go around the corner and find a spot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, I do.
Like, shit, I wish. Even when I was living back in PA with my, because my family's from there as well.
Okay.
I'm like, damn, not the nearest BJJ school being 45 minutes away. No thanks. That's crazy. It's not New York City.
Wow. Okay. You know, it's interesting because I don't know. I'm like right outside of Philadelphia. Like, I'm from Philly, but live in LA. So it's funny because I am rare where there is a Sambo gym like 10 minutes away from me, but it's like so I've gotten to see Sambo tournaments 10 minutes from like my house, and it's really cool. Like, but I know, like you said, I'm in the rare for like in North America, I'm rare that I have that. Like, most people can't pick that up.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really cool, but like there is someone, and it is like, I knew about Sambo from like Fedor back in like the day, and that's where I first heard of it. But seeing like boys and girls, young men, young women of all different ages competing in a tournament, it was incredible. It was so cool.
It's awesome. There's nothing better than going to tournaments. Like, that's when like you really put your skills to the test, because everyone's out there hungry for blood, wanting the same thing you want. And it's really just a game of who wants it more.
No, and you know, I'll say this, the last one I went to live was right before 2019. Now, I've gone to before and after BJJ tournaments. I've seen amateur wrestling in all levels. It was at like the local high school gym, right? And I was like, I don't really know what kind of turnout, but I'll go with my friend and like we're gonna have a good time. But I'm like, who's really gonna be there? You would be surprised, Kami. The gym was like nearly like packed for a Sambo tournament on a Sunday afternoon.
That's like insane.
It was really cool to see. I was really impressed because I was like, yeah, like we might be in the front row. There could be nobody here besides like a couple kids' parents or something. Nah, it was like a packed like gym, and it was, and everyone was into it, and it was really cool.
That's awesome.
So I just find it, because you're like that perfect person. I knew you had the BJJ. I forgot that you had the amateur wrestling. And you know, one thing someone said to me, and I wonder if you agree with this, is someone said that the intensity that you have with amateur wrestling constantly, and like from how you practice and obviously how the matches are, like that's the biggest reason for the transition in a way. That not all BJJ gyms have that intensity the way amateur wrestling, whether you're wrestling for your school or a club.
No, and you know what it is? It's a lot of people flow roll, right? What they mm-hmm. teach you in gyms is flow roll, flow roll, flow roll, right? Because you don't want to hurt your partner. You want to continue to train, blah, 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 right? All right. That stuff is great, right? For learning techniques, for practicing, whatever. But you'll never get that intensity for an actual match, for an actual competition. You'll never be competition ready if you're constantly flow rolling, because you're never going to build up that aggression. You're always going to be a passive grappler. And although that's good in the long run, right, if you want to continue to learn and build skill and just be a passive like practitioner, fine, right? But mm-hmm. if you want to really like grapple and it's something you're passionate about and you really want to push yourself to like limits and like really have fun with your partner and like you're both like consensually like, yeah, like let's fucking ramp it up, you're not really going to get much out of it with that kind of training. You know what I'm saying? I was very lucky with the training partners I had. They were on the same page I was, because I have a very hard time with dialing that shit down. I don't know how to turn aggression down because I come from that wrestling background where everyone's at 100% at all times.
Right. So would you agree? And I know there are BJJ gyms that have intensity, but would you agree that that's like a difference? Like
difference. It definitely is, because as a white belt, my first fucking I would say my first lesson, day one, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool, right? And they still it's basic stuff, right? Like wrestling mm-hmm. has side control, jiu-jitsu has side control, wrestling has mount, jiu-jitsu has mount, whatever. They have turtle position, we have turtle position. Like a lot of things carry over. So I felt very, very at home, very like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yep, mm-hmm. So, like, after I learned a couple techniques, I was already, like, pinning, taking down, and getting taps and whatever, right? Like, it's fine, because it just felt normal to me.
Yeah. Right?
Whereas a lot of white belts are hesitant and insecure and don't have that follow-through to, like, be like, yeah, I want to do this. This is how I'm going to get from point A to point B. This is the move I'm going to do, because they don't have that intuition. They don't have that grappling intuition yet. It's something that they build up, where as a wrestler, you already have that. So now anything that you build upon with that level of aggression and drive and motivation to continue to like push through and have that follow through from move to move to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why like it was so easy for me to transition into BJJ, because I already had those building blocks. Whereas a lot of people that are just starting out in any kind of grappling are just now like learning and trying to find those blocks and trying to figure out how to stack them together and what like formulations work for them and whatever. Like I feel like I bypassed all that, which is
right.
Why I think if you have the opportunity to do any kind of wrestling, do it. It can only make you a better fighter.
Absolutely. So hearing what you just said, and I agree with that. Do you think how much of that, so if like a white belt coming in who never doesn't have the wrestling background like you did, how much of that is just like, oh, it's in the person has to be more aggressive? Or do you look at like the instructors need to be teaching more like about like those building, like trying to like putting that in that person's mind? Hey, here you're trying to like build on these building blocks here. So I'm going to teach you this so you can get to this. Like, is that a teaching thing or a person thing?
I think it's a person thing, because some people come in scrappy. Scrappy, 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 right? And mm-hmm. if you have no, again, this is what it is. If you have no grappling experience and you come in that level of scrappy, also,
it can get kind of dangerous, because the last thing you want, I feel like a white belt will hurt you way faster than a black belt. Do you know what I'm saying? A black belt.
That's what they always say. Yeah.
They know all these techniques, but they know how to dial that shit down, right? I know how to apply pressure and when to let go. Even my aggressive ass, I know when to apply pressure and when to let you go, right? White belts don't know that. They're going to crank every single move they learn. They're going to crank it at 100%. That's when they're aggressive. They won't be aggressive with you in grappling. They won't be aggressive with you in finding the move. They'll be aggressive with you once they find the move. And that's the difference. Right, I'm going to be aggressive with you the whole time until I get you in position. Once I get you in position where I know that you will no longer be able to escape, then I will gently apply the move, right? And right. Then get the tap, right? It's like a gradual thing. Like, I'm not going to crank that shit 100% because I'm not trying to kill you. A white belt doesn't know that. They don't have that, like, gauge. They're just like, okay, I'm going to be super calm with you, super nice with you until I get there, and then I'm going to put that shit on 1,000. And I'm like, all right, bro, no. Backwards. You got it backwards.
So is that for you? Because I'm, you know, looking at, like, you're, you know, like, I'm like around like 5'5", 5'6", but like, you have a strong build. Is your, when you see, I guess it could be a white belt, like a young man or a young woman you're getting ready to grapple with, and like, do you see, if you see someone who's like longer and taller, are you like, uh-oh? Or is it someone who's more compact, you're like, let's go? Like, which one is more like, this is going to be a tough one?
I think people that are taller or have more limbs are a little more difficult to grapple with, because they have a longer reach. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more leg to get through, a bigger guard. You know what I'm saying? Like, even just to pass someone's guard, who's particularly leggy, like, all they need is a De La Riva, you know, or an X guard or whatever, and boom, like, they have a little bit more defense, you know, because it's all that leg.
So, because that's funny, because I relate, because I can, always try to keep it real and be vulnerable and honest. I was that white belt where I'm average
scrappy
height, but scrappy. I'm a bigger guy. So when I was grappling, you know, someone, a higher belt, or all I knew was like, oh, I could pick you up, and, you know, I wasn't going to body slam them, but it's like, for me, you know, some people, I don't know, some people maybe will try to body slam you. Like, don't do that for people listening. But like, I wasn't like, this is WWE, but it was like trying to, like, I don't know. I guess I'll be honest, like an intimidation, like, hey, I can do this to you. Mm-hmm. Like, you may have the tech, because I'm like, I got nothing else here. I'm learning. So I'm like, I can pick you up, though. And then maybe, like, so for me, it was kind of like that. Like, hey, like.
Yeah. Something funny that used to happen was, like, that fresh white belt. Right? It was always a guy, right? I was like, all right, cool. I guess I got to grapple this guy. Whatever. Gotta roll with him. And he was, like, the guy would be, like, oh man, like, I know I'm a white belt, and I know that, like, she's a higher rank than me, but I don't want to lose to a fucking girl. I'm just like, sir, you're going to lose to a girl because I know more than you, regardless of strength. I feel like jujitsu is one of those things where, like, technique definitely matters, because, again, Vivi, amazing grappler, tiny, tiny girl.
Yeah.
Do you know, don't sleep on Vivi because she'll fuck you up.
No, she's top two or three toughest out there.
Exactly. Like, so it's just like size. One of those things, just one of those things, that size does not matter. And BJJ size does not matter, like, at all. So, and I feel like a lot of people need to get that through their heads, because they're just like, well, if I'm stronger than you, I'm bigger than you, I'm going to beat you. I'm like, no, you're not. And I've had guys where I'm just like, in sessions, like, oh, why don't you look scared? I'm like, why should I be scared? Why should I be intimidated by you when I know more than you? You should be intimidated by me.
Right, like, right.
But again, I'm not going to be an asshole. I'm not going to flex either. It's just, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, totally. It is. It is that. And it is. And it's funny because, despite, you know, I hate to, not to age people, but like, not that it's okay, but like, because this stuff was, martial arts have been around for, you know, years and years and years. But like, back in like the 70s or something, I can understand that thinking. Like, that's saying it's right, but like, okay. But I feel like from, you know, UFC 1 was just crazy 30 years ago this year with Royce Gracie, you know, tapping out everybody. And it's like, and we have evolved, don't get me wrong, but like, to me, still not nowhere near where it should be. And I do look at people and I go, to think like, now, like, there's really no excuse, because we, you know, from YouTube, the internet, there's, you know, always was books, but there's books. Like, none of that should matter. But so many people still have that mindset of like, I'm just bigger than you, so that trumps everything. No matter what knowledge or experience you have, I'm bigger. I can, every time people, like, I remember from when I was in high school, which was in the 2000s, to even now, when someone's like, oh, so-and-so is really tough. And the first question people would ask, how much can he bench? And I go, what does that have to do with anything? Like, what does how much he can bench have to do with he's a good fighter or not? But people will ask, surprising that in today, like, there's so many people who have that mindset still. And that is
benching,
like,
mindset, yeah.
Like that, like, oh, how big you are. And, I mean, it goes with both genders, but definitely more men, because men are the ones who, you know, talk about, or it's society's like, oh, they should fight. But even like when I've talked to like women who like are my friends, or women, you know, like I'm working with, and they're, and it's like, hey, about like the self-defense. And it's like, I can't do that. And I'm like, no, like, you know, 'cause I work social work. I've worked, you know, different, and sometimes there's dangerous things that, and they'll be like, can you go with me? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm down. I'll go with you if you're uncomfortable. Like, I'm a team player. And we'll start talking, and it's like, well, yeah, I can't. And I go, well, no, like, I'm always here to be down, like, to help you. Yeah. And it's good to have help, but you can learn stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny, because I used to work at a psychiatric center, and like, one of the things that we had to do was restrain patients. Mm-hmm. And there's like, okay, but like, a lot of the times, it's typically you see like big burly men that have to go and restrain the patients. But it was like, that's not necessarily the case anymore. You know what I'm saying? There are plenty of fucking women that are going to go in there and get their hands dirty and get on the ground and hold these motherfuckers down. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just men. And I feel like that's something that people need to, like, start kind of acknowledging, is that, like, we're just as capable. And in some cases, more. So, you know?
No.
Like, just recently, I remember being at the gym and I was looking for like some dumbbells or whatever, and some guy approached me. He's like, hey, like, what are you looking for? So I told him. He was like, oh, that's too much weight. That's so much weight. Like, you're like the perfect size. Like, you shouldn't bulk. You shouldn't be getting bigger. I'm just like, sir, respectfully, I'm going to pick this shit up, and I'm going to put it down several times, and I'm going to get bigger, and that's not your problem. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's insane. Well, for me, on two folds, it's insane, because it's like, I don't, and it's like, that guy, probably he meant well in his mind, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to, but to me, it's still like, it's like, man, whoever that dude, if I could sit down, it's like, let's sit down together, bro, and talk about what you're saying to another human being, and even though you mean well, how insulting that is.
Like, I didn't take it personally. Like, again, people got their I'm still gonna go in there and I'm gonna do what I gotta do. I pay for this gym membership just the same way you do, right? Cool. It's just funny that people have like an image still to this day of what is like socially acceptable and what is not. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you like, it's very, very rare that you see big buff women, or like, not that I'm big and buff yet, but you know, one day. that like walk around, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole bodybuilder women like aesthetic thing is just picking up now, and it's fucking picking up quick. Like, everyone is into muscle mommies now, and I love that. I fucking love that. Pick up the trend, keep it pushing. Everybody get big, get strong, come fight, right? Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, like how you were talking about like wrestling picking up, and how that's now super dominant. Now also like just women in combat sports and in like other things like that is also picking up. So that's amazing.
No, but I think, and you're right. And I know, I knew when you said it, you didn't take it personally, but it's just like, I look at it because it's like, what he's saying is like if you know someone went up to, I don't know what this guy looks like, but let's say he's like overweight. Let's just hypothetical, right? And he's at, you know, I don't know, Subway, getting something to eat, Chipotle, and someone being like, sir, I just trying to look out for you. You really shouldn't have that burrito because, you know, you don't want to get bigger than you are, which is like mean, but like that's what someone is doing. Like, who is any of us to be like, hey, I'm stranger, I'm going to go up to you and comment on your appearance and like tell you shouldn't do that or this is wrong? Because honestly, it's like, who the fuck are any of us to tell somebody
like that something that they're doing is wrong? If it's not hurting them or hurting other people, then it's nobody's business,
right? Or, you know, and I tell people, and it's because it connects also to like when I've gone to the gym with like my friends who are women, and you know, they're like, yeah, like they, like you said, they're seeing more about like lifting weights, like that whole thing. Like, it's good to do, but they're like, well, I don't want to get bulky. And I'm like, trust me, you're not going to get bulky unless you are trying
to get bulky.
To do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something you just lift a couple times and then you and wake then it up happens. And like, I'm shredded.
I have some private personal training clients. And a lot of my female clients do say that. They're like, man, I don't want to get bulky. I'm like, I promise you, you are neither eating enough nor training hard enough to get bulky.
Exactly.
It simply won't happen. Like, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, there's no one who it was like, I got bulky.
You don't accidentally get jacked.
Exactly. And that's what I say. I go, you're not, unless you make that decision that you want to. Then it's you consciously making that, which is cool. But you're not, by coming to the gym a couple times a week and doing arms and stuff, like, you're not. You know,
gonna get big. You're not.
Yeah, I'm also like, you know, sometimes I'm like, you're only doing like one body part. Like,
you're no fine. Offense.
But you're not gonna get, even on that one body part, like, you're not gonna get unless you want to do it. So it's like, that's the thing. Like, but like, it's just like, I shouldn't be, because that's society and that's humans. But like, to go up to a stranger, like to me, that's hard to say to people who are good friends of mine or family. I'd be like, hey, let me comment on your physical appearance. But then, like, to a stranger, it's like, nah. Like,
it's so just funny. Like, I never take things personally because, again, like, there's a certain level of, like, patience, I think, that I've gathered from working in so many different, like, fields, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, hey, man, like, mind your business. Like, I'm not walking up to you interrupting your workout. Please don't interrupt me in mine. You know what I'm saying? And I'm okay with just, like, casual chit-chat at the gym. But, like, to interrupt somebody to give your opinion is kind of annoying. I'm just like, all
right. Yeah. It's not even, like you say, because it's not, like, a natural. It's not interrupting, but saying, hey, like, you know, you're
doing great.
Yeah. You're really good. Like, you're really strong. Like, that's really awesome. It's like,
it's to give an opinion that is not necessarily warranted. You're like, man, I didn't really want to hear that, but I thanks, I guess.
Yeah, and so, I mean, don't get me wrong, because I work in the same kind of field with psychiatric and psychology and stuff, you know, counseling. So, like, your response is, like, right. Like, it's totally right. It's more like, I'm looking at him, and it's, like, for all of us to remember, and for people listening, it's like, yeah, like, that's wrong. And then also, not everyone's going to be as calm and have the experience that Kami. So then if someone does be like, who the fuck are you to say that? Then you can't be like, what? Why is she getting all upset? Like, it's like, no, like, you're the one who's wrong, bro. Like, you're the one out of line.
I think that people just have a hard time with understanding what is wrong and right. And, like, just random, like, social etiquette. I feel like a lot of people have a hard time with social etiquette. And even gym etiquette, which is totally different from regular, like, social etiquette. Like, man, are there some fucking interesting people at the gym.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, like, it's just something to keep in mind. Like, society is moving forward. You cannot stay stuck in one spot. You can't be stagnant when the rest of the world is moving around you. Like, and I feel like that's where that open-mindedness comes from. Like, you cannot be so shut in. When there's so much happening around you.
No, you're 1,000% right. And you're right with the gym etiquette. And it's funny because your story kind of like disproves what I tell people, but it's also like true, where I'm like, people who are nervous about signing up and they're like, people are going to stare at me. And I go, you haven't been in a gym. Everyone is all about themselves and how they look. I'm like, unless you do like a viral moment where like you trip on the treadmill or you do something like that, like people really don't look at you. But then there are those, sometimes it's more like they're just like, they just want to like assert themselves or something like that. So it's a weird, it's like other things that people should look out for, but people are always afraid, like, I haven't worked out in a while or I feel out of shape. People are going to point and laugh. I go, that's not no, really
people
it.
Don't care. Things like that, yeah. It's not what it is. It's just when you do something completely left field or unexpected or not normal from what people are used to seeing, they're like, well, what in the fuck just happened? And I guess that, like, you know, benching is one of them, because everyone assumes, hey, we wouldn't just show up to the gym to do cardio on leg day. And it's like, not everyone shows up to the gym to do cardio on leg day.
Right. And that's something that's true. Like, it was like, even in like, I could say the past like 10 years of going to the gym, it's transitioned to seeing more women in the weight area than it was. Kind of like, I remember going with, I could say I went with like friends of mine, and their wives would come, and it was like, and I would see it with them, but all they're like strangers, where it's like, couples come in and it was like, all right, see you later. And like, guys going to the weights, ladies either doing a class, which is cool, or going to the treadmill, which is awesome. All of it's cool. But it's like, now it's like, couples coming in, they're both going to the weight, like, they both are doing it. Like, and it's like a cool thing to see now.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do like, I like that. Something I wanted to ask you. So since you said Vivi, let's take Vivi off. I know you wrestled Vivi. It's a two-parter. First, who are some of like the toughest like session wrestlers, like who you've like wrestled with in your time doing this? And the second part is, who surprised you, where like you didn't think they would have that kind of skill or that they had, but they, when you grapple with them, they like showed that they had more skill than you were expecting.
Okay. So I think that to this day, regardless of how much skill the person has, doesn't matter. I think my toughest opponent was probably Lana.
Lana Luxor?
Yes. Just because we did used to train together. So we, you know, have that like training buddy thing. She was super, super, super like amazing. We used to really, really go at it super hard in training and everything. And to transition into doing like session wrestling and like wrestling on camera, I'm like, wow, like this is awesome. Like she was to this day one of my favorite partners to go up against. And then someone has surprised me. I haven't really wrestled too many girls, to be totally honest with you. So I'd have to give that spot to Ruby.
Oh, okay.
Because she, I didn't know like where she was coming from. Like she briefly mentioned BJJ, and I'm just like, okay, but like I didn't know where she was with that. Like when we initially met, but she really went for it. Like she really put her best foot forward and said, "All right, I'm gonna go for you," and like really showed me that she knew her shit. So.
Wow, okay. I didn't expect the Ruby answer. And you know, it's funny. Until you said her name, I wouldn't. But I met Lana for the first time at Katarina's event at the end of February. And I've seen Lana, like, on, like, clips and with other, like, but I never met her. And she was really cool. But she had the same thing that when I talked to you in the past, or I talked to you now, like, that badass, like, really, like, so, like, because there, you know, people were there, like, guys who were fans wanting to, like, session, and some guys would joke around with her and be like, and she's like, you're standing really close here, like, that must mean that you want me to fuck you up on these mats, and it was like, whoa, like, she had that, but it was, like, cool, it was all, like, in good fun, but also like serious, like
mm-hmm.
if you want to go. And I started like messing with it. A couple people. Yeah,
she's always ready to fucking go. She's always on go time, and I love that about her. Like, that's like, she's amazing for that. Like, she's always down to scrap, and I'm just like, yes, I love her.
Oh, it was awesome, because then I started messing with guys. So I would go up to her. I go, yeah, that dude, I think he's like eyeballing. I'm thinking he's a little. He wants to go. He wants to go on the mats. And then she goes, what? He does. And the guy's like, whoa, what are you doing to me? And I'm like, that's the pot stirrer in me a little bit. Like, I just wanted to see. Like, once I saw like she was like that, I go, I think he kind of wants it. I think he wants it. Like, I think he just needs you to like kind of help that.
Put him in his
place. She's like, he knows better. He better not. And then the guy's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I want to see something there. But she has that same. So like, I didn't know that you two trained together, but that like, it makes total sense hearing you say that, because it's like, you're both nice people, but there's that like, it's like, we're nice, but we will fuck you up. Like, and there's no like, it's almost like there's no transition. It's like, you can be talking about, yeah, like the weather's nice, blah, 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 blah. Hey, if you want to go, I'll fuck you up too. Like, yeah. It's, and you'll be like, whoa.
The switch.
So it'll come real quick. So that's interesting. That's really cool. Okay. So I guess for me, who would you say you, if there's people out there that you haven't wrestled, who would you want to wrestle?
Oh, there's so many people I haven't wrestled. I couldn't even like name one, if I'm being totally honest. Yeah. If you were to ask me this question maybe 6 months from now, I'll have a list for you, I promise.
Okay. Okay. I'll remember that.
I promise. But as of right now, I'm not sure. Because I feel like, excuse me, although I've been doing this for a while, because I stepped back, there's so many new people that came in as I was stepping back. So I was like, wow, who are you guys? Like, I want a piece of that. Like, I want a piece of this action. So I feel like, and Hans is being particularly amazing about, like making introductions and setting things up so that I get the opportunity to kind of meet and work with and like just experience other wrestlers and like other content creators and stuff. That'd be super, super amazing. So I'm really looking forward to this year, and like, feel like everyone else should too, because a lot of shit is coming.
Awesome. Awesome. That's so. Now, do you travel for like sessions?
So I would like to start traveling. I haven't, because I haven't been, or I didn't have the most flexible of jobs, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But now that I'm kind of, you know, the master of my own domain, I'm hoping to kind of get out more and like meet more people and do the whole traveling session thing. Like, it sounds super fun.
No, that'd be really awesome. That's awesome. And are there, I know, so like clips, like you had some newer clips with Hans. What can people, I know you have an OnlyFans too, right?
I don't use OnlyFans, to be totally honest. I think I kind of made it more because it was like trendy to do it, but I'm not an OnlyFans girl. Okay. If that makes sense, like, I'm gonna keep it 100% honest with you guys. I'm not an OnlyFans girl. It's not me, right? And it's a lot. I feel like it's a discovery thing. Like, it's really about finding what you like, what you want to do, and how you want to do it, and how you want to present yourself. And as amazing of an opportunity as OnlyFans is or was, it's, you're gonna find me more on the mats. Like, I want to be more on cam, more personal, more like private. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's such a private experience to make these clips and like participate in making these clips, because it's just like, it almost feels like it's just for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest, I have tried in the past, especially with COVID. I don't want to say I don't understand, I do get it a little bit. Like, I understand the appeal in a way, but I really don't. I didn't like how the app really operated. And then to me, I like, at least when I buy, like, okay, I'll keep referencing so people have heard it. I buy Hans and Kami 60-minute Spartan match. One time I pay for it, download it, and I get the match. When I got on Only, I thought OnlyFans was going to be like that. And then it's like, here's a 20-second clip. So you pay how much a month? Here's a 20-second clip. And then it's like, to see more of this clip, pay this month. And I'm like, no. If I pay this a month, to me, I want to see the whole clip right there. I didn't want these paywall. And then I know some people, they say they don't do that or whatever, but I'm like, why would I want to go
You can customize it. So, like, some people do that, some people don't. And that's okay. It's customizable, but it's just, like, when you do come across that roadblock, I guess it can be a little frustrating. And it's, like, it's OnlyFans is cool because it's an ease of access thing. Like, it's accessible. It's simple. I get it. You know? And maybe one day I'll change my mind. I'll be like, all right, never mind. D-Rock, I really like OnlyFans.
Yeah. Right?
But as of right now, I'm kind of like, I tried it. It was okay. Didn't really like it. Moving on.
No. And what you said is huge. Like, you said so many awesome things tonight. But, like, right there, it's not about being consistent. It's about being right. So I could change and be like, you know, 6 months from now, oh, OnlyFans, yeah, it's cool. I like it. And that's okay. So, like, there's no, like,
hey, they're not Tommy stuck said, in one. Yeah, like, you know, no one's going to call you a liar. Like, if you don't like something and then all of a sudden you're like, never mind, you're okay. It's okay to have an opinion. Like,
Right. So that's true. So, like, it's I like, and granted, I'm, you know, for session, right, we're, like, most people have a clip store that, but, and maybe that's part of it. I'm used to, that's how it's been. It's like, you just go on, get the clips, and it's not this thing. Mm-hmm. But I still like, as far as a viewer, I like the clip system
better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So now, is there, what can fans of yours expect in 2023 for your content, things that you're looking to create?
I think that definitely a name or like a title that, and you can ask Hans, that has been kind of circulating, and I think that you're gonna see a lot more of this now, especially with the way I've been training, is definitely look out for more scissor matches, because Hans jokingly called me Kami the Scissor Queen. I'm just like, yes, I like the way that sounds.
Wow.
So definitely look out for more scissor content. If you guys are or aren't familiar with my blindfold matches, there are definitely more coming soon, because that's when I feel the most predatory, if I'm being 100% honest. I am particularly good at handicap, like, sensory matches.
Oh.
I love those. So if you are not into blindfolded wrestling, check it out. Like, it's fucking fun.
It's funny. I just filmed a blindfolding match last night with someone. I guess I don't know when they're going to, so I don't want to, I mean, I would tell you off air who it is, but, like, I'm not sure when they're putting it out, but ours was, because it was like a trying thing. So I was actually more comfortable than she was doing it. So it wasn't as, like, skilled as, like, I know I've seen yours. So, but it is really cool. Is that something that, like, you kind of, like, just found out by accident that you were good
at?
No, or did
so
you always
I always knew. I'm really good at, I feel like I'm part bat. I'm very, very good. I also live in the dark. I'm extremely, extremely, like, adept at, like, just maneuvering and spatial awareness and, like, things like that. Like, I'm very, 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 like, hyper aware of that. So when I brought the idea to Hans, I was like, hey, I want to try this. He said, you know what? That sounds fun. And I'm like, cool. Let's fuck around and find out. So I brought this idea up to him, and it went super well. And I feel like you can see it a lot in that match, how I was moving with more confidence than he was throughout the entire, like, match, without you know, giving things away. It was something like, I felt right at home on that mat, or I felt really much like I felt very much like a lioness, like stalking a gazelle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt
right.
so comfortable that I was like, this is where, or like something that I want to kind of build up on, you know?
Right. Now, have you done that with anyone in a session?
No one has been interested in it yet, but I'm hoping that changes this year as I start kind of feeding more into that genre, or kind of like trying to like kind of push it a little bit more, because it's something that I really enjoy. So I'm hoping that people become more interested in doing blindfolded matches or like sensory deprivation
Well,
matches.
I'm going to say this here. So for everyone, so this way I can't chicken out. I'm in Philly, you're New York. I think you do like Manhattan area. Like,
yeah,
I'll say it here. I'm not going to say for the full time, but I'll say at least I'm down for either 20 to 30 minutes. I will be your first. I don't know for the full session I would do the blindfold, but definitely like to start, like for like, say if we do like an hour session, if it's like we clock it at like 20 minutes to 30 minutes, like I'll be your first. I will do
My first victim. I'm so excited.
And so that it's on the air. So like, I'm not,
you can't
so
back that, off.
Yep. So I'm dead serious. I will, like I said, it's a quick train ride to, you know, off of Penn Station. I will do it. Like I'm down.
Absolutely looking forward to that. I will get you a special, blindfold, first time only.
Okay. Okay. Cause I can tell you, I did it. We were filming, so it was like a 10-minute thing. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Also, then you'll definitely, I feel like you'll get a kick out of it, especially because I'm particularly silent, and I feel like a lot of people have a hard time with that.
I'm good with that too.
I think Hans had a hard time because he was like, "You're so fucking quiet." I'm like, "Yeah, that's the point."
No, I'm good with that too. Cause
okay, so then it'll definitely be one for the books. Can't wait.
No, for real. I'm dead. We can
set this up whenever you're ready.
Yeah, no. If you're good, I can set it up with you. Like when we're done recording, because I'll do it, because I had a great time with it, and I'm not gonna kid myself, right? I know you are better than me at this by a long shot. But I part of me thinks with like the quiet and like being able to like surprise you, or like, oh dude, I know where you're at quicker than you thought I would, or you don't know where I'm at. I think I could do okay in that realm. So like, I know when it comes to grappling, you'll destroy me. But it's like in the other part, like I think
it's
like
it's more of like a game of chicken, like don't let me get my hands on you.
Right. So I think like that's like the fun. But no, I really had a great time with it. Like it surprised me because I'm into that. Like, I mean, Daredevil is my favorite superhero, but like I've done work with the blind and like human echolocation, and it's really fascinating kind of like doing that. So I think it'd be really cool. So I'm pumped.
Oh man, I'm so excited.
I'm pumped.
I'm definitely looking forward to this.
Oh yeah.
But D-Rock, I do have to go because I have a very sick snake at home and I do have to go and change his bandages.
Absolutely.
So I had an amazing time. I'm fine. It's like super glad we finally got to set this up and actually set something else up. So that's fucking great. We got a double whammy.
Oh yeah. No, this was amazing. And everyone, please follow Kami on Session Girls on Twitter. Follow everything she's doing because she's coming back with a vengeance in 2023. She's already doing that, and it's going to be awesome. And stay tuned because I'll keep you guys posted when we have it set up, and I'll give you the before and the after about our our blindfold match. And, you know, it's going to be awesome.
Fucking epic. I'm so excited.
So for the amazing Kami Kyler, I'm D-Rock. Thank you guys for listening to After Hours Sessions. Take care.
All right. Thank you.